Welcome to the Faith Element podcast for the December 9th session, focusing on Malachi 3, 1 through 4. Are we ready? I'm Crystal Shepherd.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
Well, David is away for this episode as well, so you're stuck with me. We miss David and we look forward to him returning next week. But I want to talk to you guys just for a minute before we get into this week's conversation about something very controversial. So we just had the first snow of our season, and we got our winter forecast from the local weatherman, and he says it's going to be snowy and colder than last year. And he's calling for like 10 inches of snow in January and like 16 in February and flooding. And so I have to ask you, because it's a big deal right now, do you love snow or do you hate it?
I liked it when I lived in Kentucky for a while, but then I got very tired of it after so many weeks. But in Mississippi, you know, when we get snow, it's snow down here is just like a maybe enough to barely dust on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I miss it now. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I may be the fogey of the group, but if I've seen my last snowflake, it'd be all right with me.
Done.
I'm not, you know, it doesn't do anything for me.
I love snow when I can be off of work and curled up in a blanket with hot chocolate in my hand watching movies.
Right.
And send my children out to giggle and play so they sleep really well at night. Like, that is how I like snow. So I actually really love snow, but I do not love to be in snow.
I like it. That's kind of the way I am.
I like how quiet everything gets. And
yeah.
I mean, and I'm in Atlanta. If we have a snowflake, the grocery stores are empty and we're home.
Right.
So we get to just kind of take a break when it happens for us. Otherwise, you get the snowpocalypse that Atlanta experienced a few years ago.
Yes.
So we all kind of stay home now because okay. We realize none of us are competent drivers with the ice.
Well, they're not in Kentucky either, but you know, I like to stay home. I like to stay home during snow. I like you said, I really enjoy seeing the snow. I kind of like being out in it because I like that hush, like you said, that quiet that comes over everything when the snow is falling. And you know, my semi-younger days, I used to love to run. I would go running, and so I would run when the snow. I just loved the way that I just loved it. So I'm lucky I didn't break something. But anyway, Bert, I think you're going to get us started today.
Yes, and we are in the season of Advent. Mm-hmm. And Advent, of course, is about preparing. It's about waiting. It's about expecting. It's about getting ready for the birth of Jesus. And this passage from Malachi chapter 3 asks us, are we ready? The context of Malachi is between 4 and 5 centuries maybe before Christ. The prophet is concerned with dishonesty among the priests, a little cheating on the offerings. He's concerned with the spiritual condition of the priests and the people. And he says there's a messenger coming, someone to prepare the way. And then there's images of cleansing soap and refining fire and things about purifying. Now, for those of us used to more traditional Advent readings from the New Testament, this does echo the more familiar Advent text about John the Baptist, who was, of course, eating locusts and preparing the way and talking about purifying and fire and cleansing. This isn't happy, joyous, sweet baby Jesus in the little manger kind of stuff. This is, quite frankly, somewhat terrifying. It's confronting. It's deep, honest self-examination kind of stuff. When Jesus does come, we're going to be changed. We will be purified. We will be refined. We will be cleansed. Now, as I pay attention to the world around us today, and as I pay attention to the world around me in my home state today, well, we hear a whole lot coming from the church and a whole lot of people proclaiming the name of Jesus while we deny the image of God in our sisters and brothers of darker skin tones or from different nations or of different economic classes. And we're living in a time where refugees are labeled as violent military type invaders. And in my home state, which has a horrific history of very public lynchings, leaders make passing off-the-cuff references to public hangings, and it's just written off as common everyday phrases. As I look at the world around me, I have to remember I also have to look inward and take a look at myself. Because while I hope and pray, come, Lord Jesus, come into the world, I'm not so sure I'm ready for Jesus to come in my own life. This is a season filled with trees and lights and presents and 24-hour happy Christmas music. And the prophet causes us to pause and reminds us about the coming purifying and cleansing. And I'm not so sure I'm ready. Are you ready?
So hearing you talk about these images, Bert, it makes me think about, oddly enough, bath time with my children. It is a difficult time in the Shepherd household to get the kids into the bath. For some reason, it's they protest. They don't want to go. They don't want to be bathed. And I don't understand.
What is that for? Mine do the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I can tell them that they smell, and they do not.
I know.
They don't want to take a bath. And so I just think about, like, I'm having to, you know, coax them, practically drag them to take a bath. But after they take a bath, they always feel good. Mm-hmm. And they're happy they had a bath. So I don't understand it. And it made me think of when you talked about these images of the refining fire and the cleansing with soap and how we're like my children with God. You know, who wants to be refined? I mean, God's like dragging us, kicking and screaming, get in the tub. And so I think when you say, are you ready? I don't know who is ready to be refined. But on the other side of it, there's something beautiful. It's the process in and of itself. Like I think about, you know, being scrubbed with soap or the refiner's fire, impurities are burned away. That's not something that sounds pleasant, so to speak. And so I think when I think of, you know, it's not something I say, yes, God, sign me up to be refined. That's what I want to do. So I don't know. It makes me think of that reluctance that my children have for the bath and how we are reluctant to have those refining moments in life.
So I don't want to take us off on a tangent, but this is a constant discussion among people of faith. Does God send us through the fire? Does God scrub us with the soap? Or does God allow these things to happen? Or does God know that these things will happen, and so God walks with us through them. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've been a listener on this podcast, you know I'm in that last camp. But even still, I can think about those times in my own life when I felt like I was going through the fire, when I was being refined, and I realized that my examples probably reek of privilege because those seem pretty tame compared to what the rest of the world goes through. But I can say that, you know, on the other side of those made me a better person. I remember, you know, as I say, a simple example, but in the days leading up to defending my doctoral work, I was a nervous wreck. I didn't eat, didn't sleep. And of all things, I was taking an airplane to Louisville at Louisville Presbyterian to defend, and there were storms and there was a chance I was not going to make it. And I remember that whole process. For some reason, I don't know why that popped into my mind, but that whole process, I felt like I was being burned. But then the warm reception from my professors, and they said, you did it. You passed. And I was like, I felt burnt up. Mm-hmm. But I remember feeling coming that on the other side, it was different because I had walked through that.
All right, so a lot of times we do some verbal processing on this podcast, and we kind of work our way around, so I'm going to try to work my way around here. Because what we're talking about is making me think of this song that I was listening to actually today. One of my favorite artists, I could listen to her sing the phone book, is Carrie Newcomer. She's a folks artist. She has this beautiful, rich, easy to listen to voice. And her lyrics, her writing, her song lyrics are just beautiful. And she has this wonderful song called The Clean Edge of Change. Have any of you heard it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No, but I love Carrie Newcomer. I think she's Quaker, isn't she? Or something.
She is
like that,
a Quaker. Yeah, I've seen her perform here in Atlanta. She's wonderful. Yeah.
What's the song you were mentioning?
So it's called The Clean Edge of Change. And so it's about like the different changes that happen in our lives. And in the first kind of stanza, she said, the journey down so far that is has nowhere else to go but through. And so there's this whole idea that we have to go through these times of change and transition. But then the refrain comes and it says, what happens next is nearly weightless. The opening where we stand breathless on the clean edge of change. And there is this sense, I think, that a lot of times this refining that we're talking about, this preparing, this getting ready, part of that is it is to burn away the dirt and the soot and to get us to that clean place, that place where all of this extra stuff has kind of been sloughed off and let go. I don't know. I don't know. Is there a connection there for y'all? I kind of am sensing it, but I don't know that I'm articulating it well.
When you were talking, it makes me think of birth. And I know that that may sound unusual, but it makes me think of that the body prepares for birth. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get graphic or anything, but the body knows what to do when you're yes. giving birth. There's pain involved. And there's a point, I did experience one natural childbirth out of my two children. There's this point where every part of your body feels like it's on fire.
Yeah.
And then there's this release when the child is born.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Brought something, there's something new yeah. that has been born into this world. And so I kind of, when you were talking about that, I'm like, that's kind of like something being born anew in us through the refining process that in our lives, we know what to do, and even if we don't think we do, and our lives will produce new growth, new birth in us. So yeah, I just got that image when you were speaking.
That is incredible. Having never experienced that. That being incredible, that's the understatement of the year. But what's also incredible is I was just thinking, what in the world does this have to do with Advent? That's good. What this has to do with Advent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That the pain and the joy, the sorrow and the hope of, yeah, that's, and I still don't know what to do with instinctively, we know what to do here as created beings. But this preparing for birth, yeah, I'm stumbling over my words, but that's an incredibly rich image for me.
Well, when you said our bodies know what to do, my mind actually kind of went to carrying the child and kind of what all of our bodies do, like the loosening of the hips and the stretching of the body and the, you know, just everything begins to change. Mm-hmm. And it is true. Like your body takes over and it does instinctively know what to do. And I think that there is a connection there for this idea of cleansing and purifying and refining ourselves or making ourselves available so that those things can happen. I think a lot of times we're like kids and we go, we don't want to go take a bath. We don't want to do these things that we're supposed to do, whether it's spiritual practice or attention to, attention to our own spiritual lives and in all the dynamic ways that we can do that. And we resist it. But when we let ourselves participate in that, when we let ourselves get in the tub and get a bath, we feel better. We're glad we did. We feel and experience a sense of being refined.
Mm-hmm. I think the key is what you said about the openness. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what I meant when I said, you know, we know what to do. We know that if we're open to the movement of the Spirit, then the Spirit is going to do what it will. But if we're closed off, it's much more difficult for that refinement. That refinement process is probably going to happen anyway. But at the same time, I think it's much more difficult on us. I think of the times in my life when I resisted God and I resisted change and how hard that was. And not to say that if you don't resist that there's not still difficulties, but I've felt like at this point in my life, I'm having some refinement moments. And the difference has been that I've realized that I'm not in control and I have let go of a lot to say, okay, God, like, what's the next step? What is it that you're asking of me? Or what is it that you're wanting from me? And trying to listen and be open to whatever word from God that I get or whatever next step I'm asked to take. I think that openness is part of it.
I guess it's becoming a little clearer to me why this text was chosen for Advent. As you were saying, Crystal, that sometimes life being refined, the experiences we have in life, we don't feel as if we're in control. And, you know, that in many ways, Advent is a journey that we're not in control of. Mm. That it's not our job to draw the map from where we'll begin to where we will end, but instead to be open to what God wants to teach us, what God wants to lead us through during the Advent season, whether it is a new way of treating ourselves or a new way of seeking to model light and hope and justice and peace and love in this world. Maybe it's trying to model a sense of decency and kindness with one another when all we're hearing from our leaders is acrimony and ugliness. Maybe it's trying to make this world a place where the infant Jesus would feel at home. And it's something I hope we will open ourselves to being led through this Advent season.
If you'll allow me to close with, so it makes me think of, as we talk about the openness and not being in control, and, you know, Daniel, you said that in the journey we're not in control of what happens, but we kind of join into this process that's going on. It makes me think of, I used the birth analogy before, when I had my second child, and it was a natural childbirth, and we had a midwife that helped us in that pregnancy journey. And it makes me think about God as a midwife in the time of Advent. Mm-hmm. Because we're waiting, mm-hmm. and we're awaiting Jesus. And when Jesus comes, we're all going to be changed. Everything's going to be changed. And so I think Advent's a time of waiting and allowing the midwife to be present with us and to help prepare us for the blazing light of what is being born, for that first breath of the Spirit and that moving in our lives. So my prayer is that we would all be open to God the midwife this Advent season. Thank you guys for such a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.